All right. Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. I'm happy to be joined by Georgina James here for episode number 581. I do want to start just on a bit of a sad note. The Minnesota poker scene lost a great friend today. If you don't know, I'm very sad to announce the passing of longtime friend of the show and great, great poker mind and a great character around Running Aces, Kevin Kelsenberg, passed away today. And with great respect to him and his family, I just wanted to mention that at the top of the show and sort of dedicate this show to him and the great impact he's made in the lives of so many fantastic Minnesotans. So Brandon, and for the rest of the family, I know if you are listening, I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone this week, and that a lot of people are rooting for you and remembering very fondly some fantastic stories from Dr. K. So we are here. We are on the right side of the grass. We have the ability to get together and talk about poker and celebrate this love that we have for this fantastic game. You've heard it from me before. I've got the best freaking job in the world. I get to hang out here on YouTube with my friends, talking about poker, talking about poker strategy, sharing our love of poker with the world. And we do that here on the Rec Poker Podcast. This is the chats edition, but we also do an episode every week just talking about strategy. And if you want to join us, just come on by to, like I say, the YouTube channel, 7:30 Eastern. Every week you can join for free and get a prize just for taking part in what we're doing here. Now, I have to mention first, we're brought to you by our fantastic sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. We couldn't do anything without their support. We're a largely volunteer-based organization here at Rec Poker, so we really depend on the support of our sponsors and also our premium members. And we've had a few new additions to the premium member family this week. So I want to thank Janet Fitzgerald, Jamie Calder, Scott Loom, Brandon Smith, and Christina Sukram. So thank you all for kicking in your $15 a month to join the Rec Poker premium membership here. I think you're going to fit right in. I've met a couple of you already, but the rest of you, if you're listening to the show, you should have seen an email from me kind of introducing what we do here at Rec Poker and giving you an opportunity to join me for a quick Zoom call so I can kind of walk you through all the great stuff that we do here at Rec Poker. So thank you for your $15 a month. And everyone else, I want to say most of what we do here is free. You can come sign up for free, get a free community account. All it takes is an email address and a smile. But we are so appreciative of the support of our premium members. And you can get your first month of premium membership for only $5 by using the code RECPOKER at checkout. Now, you get used to hearing my voice on Mondays because they let me host the show. But I am just a one small cog in the machine that is Rec Poker. It takes a group, a gang, a crew to make all the magic happen here. And if you want to find out more about me and the rest of the crew, the wrecking crew, of course, we call it, then you can go to rec.poker/crew. But you can also just listen up. You're going to meet a few of them right here tonight on the air, starting with our own producing co-host, Chris Jones.
Well, I'm Chris Jones. You can find me 5b5 on Twitter or 5x5 in the Poker Stars home game. And I help run our monthly strategy topic called the Deep Dive, where we sort of learn about one poker strategy topic as a community.
And my name is Joe Coolis. You can find me at Joe Cool PhD, Cool with a K, at Twitter, as well as Blue Sky or LVD11 in the home game. My role on the Wrecking Crew is twofold. First and foremost, I run the PsyOps and help individuals understand how psychological and brain-based concepts can help you at the poker table. And I also serve as the person trying to interpret Jim's statements, such as, "We're on the right side of the grass," as I have no idea what that means, but I think it means we're on the right side of history, maybe, or something else. But anyway, that's part of my role.
Thanks, Joe. Good luck with that, by the way.
I'm John Somsky, also known as Poker Geek MN Everywhere, and I run the home games. And I believe right side of the grass means that we are not 6 feet under.
Nailed it.
I'm Kim Kilroy. I'm PetVet33 on the social platforms, Fergie56 in the home game. And I have a hand history review on the second Wednesday of the month. But everyone can join, and we usually go over a few hands, mostly played live.
And I'm Rob Washam, and you can find me as Rabman50 just about everywhere. And I run a book study on the first and third Wednesdays of every month, and we cover books by the most famous poker authors around.
So as you can tell, we've got quite a group here, quite a crew. This is only a few members of the Wrecking Crew. You get a different crew every week because we're all recreational players. We've got day jobs, or, well, Rob's retired, you lucky duck. But things pulling us in other directions, so we can't all make it every week. But thanks to everyone who could make it this week. And at the top of the list, my new buddy, GJ, Georgina, that's going to take me a while to get used to. Georgina James, thank you so much for joining the Rec Poker Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, excited to be here. And yeah, it was great to meet you in Ireland and play a little bit as well at the tables.
Yeah, we even got a chance to sit at the same table. I don't remember if it was the main event or one of those. What a great series that was. Do you get to play in the Irish Poker Open often? Was that your first year? Or tell us a little bit about your history there, because boy, that's a lot of fun.
It's actually my second time at the Irish Open. First time being last year, and last year was the first time PokerStars had sponsored the event. I kind of got to experience the event and go to it through PokerStars. I'd actually never been before, but I'd heard really great things about its long history and how people have so much fun. It's always so friendly, and yeah, I think it definitely lives up to its name in that sense.
Now, you're a PokerStars pro, but don't let me put you in a corner. I'm going to start the interview with the same question I ask a lot of folks, which is, if our audience hasn't heard of the name Georgina James, how would you kind of define your own role in the poker world today?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a Twitch streamer. That's kind of how I got it both into poker and how I ended up in the position I'm in. And then, I'm a PokerStars ambassador as well. I've struggled a lot with being named as a pro in that sense. I don't often feel like a professional, kind of a professional recreational is sometimes what I like to go by. But PokerStars ambassador and Twitch streamer.
That's fantastic. And so if you're watching along in YouTube and you'd like to ask any questions of Georgina, just type them away into the chat. And we're also going to be looking for suggestions for Stake Study Stack, which we'll be playing later in the show. So again, if you're watching along in YouTube, get that get those suggestions in there. Also, last thing for our YouTube audience, just like every show, we're going to be giving away a prize at the end as part of our raffle to support food banks in the area. So stick around. You can win a prize just for showing up. And we're going to talk a little bit about how you can help food banks. And we have also just hit the monetization threshold for YouTube. So you can send us a donation via Super Chat if you're the kind of fancy person that can do that. Feel free to type a Super Chat donation into the YouTube chat, and we'll share a portion of that donation with a food bank as well, because regular listeners will know that we're big proponents of the fight against food insecurity here at Rec Poker. But first, get those questions for Georgina, because this is going to be a great interview. So, Georgina, I'm so fascinated by this. We're all recreational players here. We love the game. We love playing the game. We love studying the game. A lot of us are active on Twitch or other platforms like that. And like you, the idea of sort of like being a pro is a little like, you know, like I'd much rather be a professional recreational player as well. It sounds like you've really kind of hit the nail on the head there. Can you tell us a little bit about what the journey was like for you? You started gaining notoriety and popularity on Twitch. But then someone like PokerStars comes along and says, hey, let's make this real. What's that like?
Very surreal, especially at that time. So I first started streaming on Twitch just because I watched a lot of poker. I actually didn't really play that much. I watched a lot of Fintan Spraggy and the EPT streams that PokerStars were doing. So that's kind of how I first got heavily involved in poker. And then I started streaming as part of one of these streaming competitions that you've probably seen a few of over the years now. But PokerStars was hosting this with Run It Up. And the prize being a platinum pass to the very first PSPC in the Bahamas. And I just decided to give it a go, see what would happen. And I didn't win the competition in any way, but I kind of fell in love with streaming, and I never played so much poker before as I did when I started the streaming challenge, and just trying to get the hours in to, you know, build the community and the audience. And it was a pretty quick turnaround. So I started streaming in July 2018. And PokerStars got in touch with me around February, March 2019. And then in May that year, that I was like officially announced as part of the team. So I've pretty much been very embedded in PokerStars. I've kind of been with them for nearly my entire career now. And it was very surreal. And I was working a full-time job at the time. Mm-hmm. I worked in business improvement, just like a regular office job sort of thing. And I didn't leave that job till February 2020. So kind of did the whole streaming PokerStars thing whilst working the day job for a little while. And then eventually kind of got to a point where I was really enjoying the streaming and the poker, and obviously the opportunities that PokerStars were giving me. Trying to focus on that, like all my free time, all my holiday that I took that year from work, all the days off leave that I took off work, like my weekends, I did poker and PokerStars. So I didn't like take any leave for myself that year. And it all kind of got too much to manage both. So I ended up at a turning point, and I ended up choosing to try doing this streaming thing full time, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems to have worked out. It looks great on you. You know, now several years later, feels like you've been doing it forever. You tell me if this is not something you're supposed to be talking about, or it's behind the curtain or anything like that. But like, sure. what's like when PokerStars comes up and says, "Hey, you've been making noise on Twitch. We'd like to make you an ambassador." Like, what does that conversation look like? Are you like negotiating like payment for stuff? Do they have expectations for what you're going to spend your time on, or can't talk about, or stuff like that? Let us in a little bit behind the curtain there.
Yeah, so it's kind of changed sort of over the years. So my first initial contract was only for 2 years. I've been with Stars for like 5 years now. And actually, when PokerStars got in touch with me, it was actually Fintan sent me a message on Discord that just said, "Hey, GJ, can I have an email address? My boss wants to speak to you." And that was it. Just a message from Fintan on Discord. I was like, okay. And I remember the exact moment where I was when this happened as well, because I'd been watching a rugby game at a pub. I was with Ed Kay, who at the time was a moderator for the PokerStars stream. And I was a little bit drunk because my team had done well. And I see this message from Fintan, and because I know Ed knows him as well, I just look at the message and go, I just like show Ed, like, this looks like good news, right? And he's like, oh yeah, kind of thing. After that, I gave him my email. They sent me an email, and we had like a very brief chat set of a meeting. And I don't know, there wasn't really that much in the way of negotiation, at least not from my perspective. I didn't really know the poker world back then. I think I was probably like quite naive about the whole situation, didn't necessarily have the best understanding of exactly what everything meant. But it was a great opportunity for me. I was offered like a salary, essentially, to you know, do the role. And then, like you say, like certain commitments and this, that, and the other were expectations. At the time, they basically couldn't really ask too much of me because I worked a full-time job.
Right.
And and they were very aware of that. And I think from a sort of social responsibility kind of perspective, they're not really allowed to tell me to quit for poker.
Yeah, good point.
So in that sense, they didn't ask that much of me for the first 2 years, because they sort of couldn't really do that in a sense. So I pretty much kept up the same streaming schedule that I'd already been doing prior to that, and I got paid for it.
That's amazing.
So it like a dream situation, really. You know, I earn more than I could have possibly expected to just by streaming some poker on the internet for a little bit. And then I still had, you know, whatever I was making from my day job. So yeah, but then once I quit that and then, you know, and then I started doing the streaming thing full time, then the expectations are sort of a little bit different in terms of how many hours you stream, what they expect you to play and promote and market and social media and all that jazz. So, but initially it was incredibly minimal kind of thing. And yeah, that's like ramped up over the years.
And so, and again, let me know if we're treading uncomfortable water, but so now they have like a, like you have to play so many hours in a week or in a month. And like, we want you to play a certain like range of buy-ins or something like that, or certain promotional tournaments. How do you kind of choose what to play and when and for how long?
And it's mostly kind of based around streaming and hours kind of things. They don't ever dictate kind of what level or buy-ins or what tournaments I should play. That's entirely down to me. And obviously I've got my own like personal bankroll. They don't necessarily know what my finances are going to be like, if that sure. makes sense. So they can't be like forcing me to play 10Ks or anything. So yeah, in that sense, I kind of pick my own times and schedule. I stream as like, you know, the hours that I need to stream. And the thing is they're pretty good with kind of trusting us to just know that we're going to get the job, like do the job that we should be doing, if that makes sense, you know. Whilst maybe sometimes we have some downtime during the summer, for example, but everyone knows that Scoop and WCoop, those are the times that you really ramp up the streaming and you make sure you get all that out there. And you know, I think whilst maybe taking a few days off or a week off a month here or there, they wouldn't mind, but then it would look very strange to take a two week break during the biggest tournament series of the year. So yeah, there's like expectations, but you start to kind of understand that. And it's sort of in our benefit when in the social media world to kind of also be as proactive as we can when it comes to streaming and posting and stuff. So
yeah. And I guess, you know, the best kind of partnerships are ones where your incentives overlap already. I mean, you want to be spending time streaming and playing in the tournaments. And so it's not like they're asking you to do anything that you wouldn't ordinarily do. So that makes perfect sense. So you're largely an online player. We've had a couple Rec Poker members go up against you in some live events as well. I know Elizabeth Bennett Martin, who's a longtime Rec Poker member and a good friend of mine, and some of the crew members here. You guys went head to head, and was that in the Bahamas? I want to make sure. So many exotic locations that you people are playing poker in, making the rest of us jealous. But you guys took first and second in was the ladies' event in the Bahamas there? Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah. So that was at the PCA last year, and that was kind of a crazy event, really, because and we ended up playing out over 2 days, which was sort of a bit abnormal for an event that's scheduled for one day. It just ran on till the super, super early hours. And there's like an official cutoff time, basically. Like they're not allowed to, you know, whether it's regulations or not, they weren't supposed to let people continue playing after a certain time. Then we sort of ended up stopping for play and then rescheduling to come back the next day. The only thing is the next day was day one of the PSPC, the big 25K tournament. So then you had the 25K tournament, and then we were, and because I had a platinum pass, so I was playing that day. And then we had to schedule it for after day one of that ended. Because of like the way the whole situation played out, actually Elizabeth ended up getting a surprise platinum pass that morning herself. So then we both ended up playing the 25K, and then I'm pretty sure we both bagged as well. So it was like the longest poker day you can imagine, playing like a 25K for God knows how many levels on day one, and then the elation of making it through and then coming back. So then, okay, we've had our 20-minute break. We're now going to play heads up for a trophy sort of thing. It was like a really, really wild day. And I remember as well, because like the best thing about it, actually, having to play the heads up on day two was the fact that everyone had like was done for the day. PSPC 25K day one was over. Commentary was over. So like all the friends and other players and everything could come along and rail and watch. And that was probably the nicest thing about it, is that there were genuinely quite a lot of people there just watching us play the heads up, like rooting for Elizabeth or myself. So yeah, that was really fun. And yeah, I was on the right side of things, I guess, to take that one down.
Now you're no stranger to playing in front of strangers with your streaming, of course. Is it different at all playing live with a rail or people like physically watching you and being in your space as opposed to kind of being in your own little world at home?
I don't actually find sitting at the table particularly intimidating or having like kind of the eyes right there. But what I will say is that what I find terrifying, and this happened at the Irish Open. No, it wasn't on the table we were at. But when the roaming cameras are going around, whether it's like the live feed ones or like the actual photographers, for whatever reason, they always make me really, really nervous because I sort of know that maybe someone's told them, oh, can you get a few pictures of Gigi? Like, do you know what I mean? They've been told, can you like take a shot of her? Or they might show me on stream because like I'm one of the ambassadors or something. And they always make me intensely nervous.
Yeah. Now, what about when you're playing like at a feature table and you know that your cards are going to be exposed after a 30-minute delay or something like that? Does that affect like how you approach the game? Do you like turn down spots? Do you turn up for other spots? Do you adjust your play every 30 minutes to keep people guessing? What's that experience like?
I've actually never played at a live feature table. Mm. Well, okay. I have once for about 5 minutes, and then I got balanced off the table, so I kind of doesn't really count. But yeah, I've never played in a live feature, and I've sort of openly said this, which is probably not a good idea, that I'm terrified as well. And just because it's like all of the things you say, you're sort of acutely aware that you're now being watched, and like all your whole cards exposed, and then people laugh at me, and they're like, "Aren't you a streamer? Like, is that?" What you do all the time. But yeah, the thought of it just sort of scares me, because in the streaming world, like I'm in my own house, in my own space, playing with my own, like I know exactly what feed I'm putting out. Like I know exactly the kind of pictures or cards or tables or whatever. The whole production's run by me. So I'm like, okay, I'm in control. It's fine. Whereas on a live feature, like I have no idea what they're showing the world. And you don't necessarily want to be portrayed like, I don't know, in a bad light. Not that they ever would, but there's always that sort of slight doubt that, you know, something's going to go wrong or you're going to look stupid or things like that. So I don't know. I have a feeling it probably would affect my game. I reckon I'd go one of two ways. I'd either just play super, super tight because I'm just like a little bit scared of doing something stupid, or I just kind of go so far the other way that I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be scared, and I'm going to play too, like almost like too aggressively. No in between. I think it might go one or the other, but we'll have to wait and see.
I can't wait to find out with you. Joseph, you unmuted there. What's on your mind?
Yeah, and it's a good question. It was kind of organic from what was being discussed. But, you know, I'm an old man and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how Twitch streamers playing poker is a thing. And the best that I can put it on is that you have to have some ratio of playing poker and engagement value. Right. It's like watching just poker, you know, is like watching paint dry. If you don't know anything about poker, nobody's going to come to your stream. So if you had to put the ratio in terms of the poker part versus the just being entertaining for folks when they're watching, how would you put that ratio for what you try to accomplish in your stream?
I think for me, I very much am on the engagement with the community side of things as opposed to the poker side of things. I am trying to get a little bit better at being talking through hands more and being like doing a little bit more strategy. But for me, it's definitely the engagement, the chat, the community. And that's sort of always been my primary focus. And I think it sort of stems from especially early days, but basically I didn't know anything about poker when I started streaming. So the selling point was like that I could try and be engaging. I could try and get to know the community. I used to stream on a very, very low delay because I wasn't really worried about sort of being stream sniped or anything. And we just had like really, really good chat. And I think one of the things that sort of drew people in initially was the fact that all the stakes that I was playing was very small. It was sort of relatable and like kind of everyone didn't really know what was going on. So you're all sort of working through it together. But yeah, I think my stream is far more focused on the engagement side of things than the poker. Sometimes I do try to like talk a little bit of strategy here and there. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, that's what I would say.
So if you value the engagement side, then the psychologist in me wonders, well, how do you deal with the people that believe that the engagement has led to a very specific personal relationship with you and that they're coming on to talk to you daily about things that maybe should be with someone else?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because I know that there's always these like, you know, talks about warnings and dangers of kind of developing parasocial relationships with the creators that you have on these platforms and sort of thing. My community is very small, very close knit. I do see the same people in there all the time. I don't like kind of get the thousands of viewers that others do, maybe sort of 50, 200 if I'm kind of lucky or doing well that day. And I actually would say in terms of percentage of people in my stream that I've actually met kind of in person is maybe like kind of higher than most other streams. I would actually consider a lot of the people who come to watch friends of mine, people that I have met. We've had like sort of community meetups and plans and things. So there was always like some worry that you'll develop this sort of parasocial relationship, but I spend a lot of time with these people. My Discord community is very close. We spend a lot of time offline together. And then during the pandemic as well, we ended up like kind of just getting to know each other a lot better through gaming online because we couldn't really do anything else. So some stuff like that. I'm genuinely, there's so many people that I've met through my stream, through poker that are, yeah, really good friends of mine now.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. When I joined Rec Poker back in 2019, I was one of the first premium members. I have so much fun telling the story. And I got to meet John and Rob and Chris and Taylor and Andrew. And, I was the lurker guy who would like have the camera turned off and just like chime in from time to time. But it didn't take long. Like, I really felt welcomed by this community. And I really like they just dragged me out of my shell, as you can obviously tell. And these are some of my best friends. I mean, yeah, I have other good friends I went to school with and I've worked with in the past, but you know, I spend a lot of time with these goofballs and like, we have a great freaking time. I do seriously consider these among my best friends, even though we've only met in person like two or three times or something. I know, as crazy as it sounds.
I thought we were wizards, not goofballs.
It can be
when
both.
Did we turn from wizards into goofballs?
You're such a versatile group. Is it like range? You have range, Rob.
That's you can what be I mean. Both.
Yeah.
He's taken over. He won't let go of the microphone.
So let's take it back to poker a little bit. So you mostly started playing online. Now you're traveling around the world, playing in these fantastic live events. Is there much of an adjustment strategy-wise from the games that you're playing online to playing live? And if so, does it have to do with online versus live, or does it have to do with sort of the stakes and the company that you're keeping in these prestigious live events?
I think there's sort of an adjustment sometimes in terms of how I play, but I think a lot of that is to do with either me sort of trying making mistakes because of things like, you know, you get into a spot and you don't have that much experience playing live, you get into a spot where you feel like you haven't played a hand in ages and you're like, yeah, you're trying to like stay focused and whatnot. You're like, oh, well, this will kind of do. Or you try to make things happen, or you have like some sort of perception of how people see you at the table as well, which I think is probably one of, I'm not necessarily that good at, but it's something I try to pay attention to because I do think sometimes either like being female or like being It sort of works both ways. The people have this some sort of perception of you, especially if they don't know you, they've never met you before, they see you're wearing a patch and they're like, oh, okay, kind of thing. So stuff like that I try and pay attention to, and maybe sort of adjust based on how I think people are seeing me, but sometimes you get the wrong read, sort of thing.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if it's more advantageous to be viewed as sort of like a recreational woman player, or if it's more advantageous to be viewed as like a crusher with a patch. It all comes into the adjustments that you make to stymie those people and their assumptions that they make. But if you could choose, which persona would you rather the villains at the table have of you, strictly when it comes to your profitability as a player?
I guess I would probably rather they thought I was good at the game, if that makes sense. So I would go with that. That I would think I would prefer them to sort of think I was kind of good at the game, and then you can sort of, because I think you can take advantage of it both ways. Like if people think that you're recreational, but you're actually better, then you can sort of outplay them unexpectedly, sort of thing. But I think if they think you have a reputation as being a really top pro, then they might be a little bit more intimidated or be a little bit, you know, more careful around you. So yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot because people ask me, because I'm kind of in that middle ground where I'm a pretty experienced for a recreational player, but I'm not near pro territory. And so I can kind of play it in both directions. And I do think, you know, when people think that you're somebody, they're just less likely to tangle with you. They're going to, you know, give you more respect for the actions that you take. I do think that's the side to be on. Try and project the crusher. That makes a lot of sense. Have you ever experimented with wearing a sports jacket? Because I find I get about 20% more folds with the sports coat than without. We have a team working on this, but I'd encourage you to try it at 20% more folds. That's a lot. You know,
Right. The sports jacket. Okay, I'll make a note of that one. I don't think I have that in my regular wardrobe, but it might be something to add.
Be a good investment. That's an investment piece right there. We're getting some comments in the YouTube chat. So you've got some fans here already. Rafa SLB, Hino3. I'm not sure which one, how they pronounce that, but you got some fans here already. Stuart Carriage asks, you did amazing in Brazil. Do you study mixed games?
I love mixed games, and that was kind of the main reason I went out to Brazil for the BSOP there. And it's been something that I've been focusing a lot more of in the last year in terms of like trying to study, trying to play more, and trying to get better at them. So I do try to study mixed games and play them as much as I can, especially live, because you don't always get to play live mixed that often, at least not kind of here in UK, EU sort of thing. I think it's a bit more prevalent maybe where you are or in the US. But I love them. And I would love to see more people getting involved and playing them too.
Yeah, well, I think they're definitely more fun. And I feel like they're kind of the future of the game. It'll be a lot harder to solve the variety of mixed games out there as compared to No Limit Hold'em, which people are kind of getting handle on already. Hino or Hino3 wants to know, is this the Georgina James, best female poker player in the Bahamas, Brazil, Norway, and WSOP winner? Wow, yeah, exactly. That's why we're rolling out the red carpet.
Eno's, I posted this in my Discord community, and like Rapper and Eno and folks are all tuning in from there, so it's very cool. It's nice to see you guys, glad to have you
here. Yeah, and here, welcome to the stream, guys. Thanks for coming. I think you'll have fun here on our YouTube channel. Elizabeth is actually here in the chat. She says that she gets the same results with her patch jacket as I get with my sports coat. It's there you go. Because people, they see it patched up and they're like, okay, this person means business. I'm gonna give them a little. And we got Terry in here and some other fun people as well. Tobias, right on, folks. Thanks for joining. If you're a first time viewer, stick around to the end of the show. You can win a prize just for hanging out in the YouTube chat with us. And of course, get your questions in there for Georgina. So we'll talk a bit about sort of like adjustments from online to live. You also play in a lot of different kind of player pools, whether you're out, you know, promoting Poker Stars or playing in your own feed. Getting into the question of strategy, what are some mistakes that you see other people making that you're like, oh, I know how to capitalize on that? Or like less experienced players like us, what are some mistakes that we're making that you could help us stop making or make less frequently or disguise better? Just a couple sort of common things from recreational players that you see that you know we could improve as a group.
So in terms of specifically live or like online or just both?
Whatever jumps to mind. We have a lot of players that play both. So whatever you think could be a good example.
Well, I know one thing that I'm constantly being told off for myself is basically just not taking my time, whether that's live or online kind of thing. Not actually just taking my time. And I think online, obviously, you just like you can get into a, very much a habit of literally button clicking, right? Because you think you know a spot that you've played 100 times over, but maybe this was actually slightly different to what you're used to. So just like take an extra few seconds to before you make the decision. And I think live as well, some people get conscious of taking too much time because, you know, you don't want to be the slow player, the one that's like, you know, slowing up the game or like kind of making it, you know, not fun for other people. But at the same time, you know, acting too quickly means you just get less time to think. You don't actually take the time to think through your decisions and you might not be kind of making the best play that you could in that scenario. So I know that's one I'm definitely guilty for. And I think people kind of snap throwing their chips in or like snap clicking a button just because they think they know that's what they're meant to do is something that a lot of people could work on. Because if you just take an extra, you know, an extra 10 seconds just to be like, okay, so, you know, what's my range? What's their range? What hands could they possibly have? What am I aiming to do with my bet even? Like instead of just throwing chips out, like am I value betting right? Am I trying to bluff right now? Or am I just throwing in a random number of chips because that's what I felt like I was supposed to do sort of thing. So yeah, I think taking your time is definitely one of the big ones. And I think a lot of the time people just kind of having to be aware of your tendencies, like in terms of maybe things like oversee betting too much, because a lot of people love to see bet, right? And maybe, you know, doing it on every single board and every single texture, no matter what your cards are, might be a bit too much. And then trying to capitalize on either noticing that you're doing it too much and adjusting, or maybe seeing someone else doing that too much and then taking advantage of maybe like raising with your best hands that you have in that situation as well.
Yep, those are great ones. I know I suffer from that mistake of just acting too quickly myself. Rob tells me all the time, just take your hand off the mouse. Like, just make yourself go through that process. Take your hand off the mouse. Yeah. Give yourself that extra 10 seconds. And I've added a step myself, which is I visualize having taken my action. And then I get to sort of like, oh, wait, is this going to be one of those things where like I take my action and immediately think, oh, God, why did I do that? I was so dumb. Honestly, yeah. Visualizing it does kind of help me maybe catch that in advance, but you can't do it if you don't take that extra time. That's a great tip. Take that extra time. So we've got the YouTube chat is blowing up here. Tobias, Terry, Robin, Alex. Alex Chang has a great tip. Says the mistakes that others make that you capitalize on is they sit at the same table as you. I'm like, well, yeah, I wouldn't advise that either, Alex. I made that mistake. In Ireland, I don't think we really went toe to toe that much, but definitely know what you're doing at the table, and I'd rather sit at another table, frankly. Now I'm sure the company is excellent, but I don't want to be anywhere near the most skilled people in the room.
Yeah, Alex is sort of referencing when I was in Bratislava just before Ireland playing a bunch of mixed games, actually mixed live, and I came and sat down at his table. He was on my left, and he, I guess, didn't survive too much longer after I joined. There was one hand in particular that we played against each other where we were on the 7th Street, and he just sort of looks at me, and I'm looking at him because we're friends, like I know each other quite well, and then I just start laughing because I could just kind of see the look on his face that it was like, this isn't, you're not winning this hand, are you, kind of thing. And then he said out loud that he was thinking about bluffing, but there's just no point, so just kind of folds his hand in that way. So yeah, it's fun times.
It sounds fun. It sounds fun. I mean, and it should be fun, right? Like, that's, we're playing a game, for God's sake. Like, let's at the very least enjoy ourselves. I always say, you know, if you're playing poker, you should either be making money or having fun, if not both. If you're not doing one of those two things, like, really, go find a different hobby. So lots of people going off in the YouTube chat here. What's poggers? What is that?
Oh.
Is that like slang for something exciting or fun or something? From context, that's my guess.
Yeah, I would treat it as like another word for exciting. Poggers is actually like a Twitch emote, basically. Like, if you type that out, it usually gives you an image of like a very excited Pepe the Frog, basically. So
okay.
It's a good thing. I'll treat it as a good thing.
All right, there you go. Well, it's all over the YouTube chat now, so that's fantastic. there's some questions in here about learning mixed games. It feels like I'm being set up for a joke here. I'm just going to answer it authentically. So come to the Rec Poker YouTube channel. We love mixed games here. We have a different podcast every month telling you how to play a different mixed game. We play mixed games in our home game club. There's a player of the year points race. We do practice mixed games so people can just try different mixed games out in our free Play Money home game club. We talk about it all the time, but they're encouraging me to ask where to go to learn mixed games as though there's some like answer that they already know is coming. What am I missing, Georgina? What's happening here?
Yeah, I guess there's like a lot of, because my community is so close, so we sort of all know each other, and I'm pretty sure I recognize every single name in the chat you mentioned, kind of thing. They're all sort of pointing in one direction, which is there's a BBZ Poker is like a poker site where people
yes.
can learn and study. And Tobias in chat said his PokerStars username is Senkel92. He's like a very prolific Norwegian mixed games several time coupe champion sort of thing, and he has a bundle out with Pi, who also was a former PokerStars ambassador and someone I work very closely with in mixed games. So yeah, they have a mixed games bundle out together where you can also learn a lot about mixed, and I think that's what they wanted.
I think that it hashtag ad I see coming through there now. Nicely done, team. I also see that it's not very poggers to not know what poggers is. Fair. I mean, we're all expanding our horizons. We're all just growing as people here on the Rec Poker podcast. I learned something new today. And yeah, Alex, that's right. You can just, I mean, all respect to these fantastic mixed games players, come get a primer for free over here at Rec Poker first, and then go, you know, dip into the deeper waters of the Twitch. That sounds fantastic. Because yes, there's a bundle. Apparently there's a bundle out there. Tobias is going to be more than happy to help some people out. So that's great. So what has changed about your role as an ambassador? Now, I know you already mentioned now that you don't have a daytime job anymore, you're doing more, but, as your reach in the poker world has expanded, is anything new about your day to day or your week to week life that wasn't the case just a couple years ago?
Day to day, week to week, probably not really, other than things like my sleep schedule. Kind of my whole day has shifted a few hours into the evening. I kind of sleep in a little later, but then I stay up like till sort of 2-3 o'clock in the morning sort of thing, and things like that. So my day's kind of like shifted. My sort of working hours have kind of changed. But apart from that, not too much from when I was streaming before. I'm just like streaming more hours, getting a bit more volume in. In terms of kind of my growth and reach, I don't think, even though I've been with PokerStars since 2019, so like 5 years now, I don't really think I had much of a reach outside of the very small area that was Twitch until basically last year. I had a very, very good year last year, and it was the first time that I got to travel a lot, and I ended up meeting so many people, going to all these live stops, with, you know, live poker really making a big return post-pandemic and PokerStars putting on all these events. It was just a really crazy opportunity, and then sort of having a good live year, I think, really made a difference to how I was like perceived as a player, how many people actually knew me or were aware of me at the time. And I think that's just kind of given me personally, given me a bit of a boost sort of confidence wise, because like I say, a lot of the time I really didn't feel like feel like a pro, even though so many people associated me with the term. And I sort of had it on myself to try and actually almost live up to the name now. I think I'm in a position where, okay, I had a good year. And when I first started, I was very naive. I didn't know the industry at all. I didn't know any people. I lived in a very small world of the internet, poker, Twitch. But now I've learned so much more, met so many new people, made so many sort of good friends. And I know a lot of very good poker players now as well who can kind of have been very willing to help me on that journey. And yeah, I'm slowly trying to work my way towards putting in more effort into studying and very much getting better at the game and trying to like be the pro that sometimes other people think I am, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, good for you, for sure. I think in the poker industry in particular, imposter syndrome is everywhere because none of us went to school for this. None of us took any courses. You can't like tap a diploma on the wall behind you and say, I belong here. It's really just, you know, we do what we love and people like it and that's how it works. But is it a problem that to sort of have credentials in the poker world, you have to like win a big tournament? Because that's so results based. And we talk about how results based is not how we should be approaching approaching the game of poker. Do you think that that's true? And is there a better way for people to sort of figure out who to look up to or who to, you know, admire?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question, sort of quite a difficult point, because as you say, the people who kind of are stereotypically the role models are people who just have done very well at poker, the ones who have won a lot of money playing this game. And then people, I think, so often associate, you know, winning money and being successful as poker too often associate with that just being like, I don't know, attributing the fact that they're going to be a good person as well, if that makes sense. Oh, yes. And then they choose someone like that to be a role model when they don't actually really know anything about them. They're like, oh, well, they must be great because, you know, they're so good at poker, kind of thing. And there probably is a better way to sort of choose poker role models to have people as ambassadors. But I think it's very hard because the people who are very good at being ambassadors for their game, who aren't necessarily winning millions all the time, they just don't get the exposure or the promotion like these, like a lot of these pros do. So yeah, I think it's very, very hard. I wish there was a way that you could, promote more like a wider variety of people in that sense. And just the folks who are doing great things locally for their small communities, like these, like what you're doing here at Rec Poker as well. Like you guys are doing such an awesome job with volunteering for this site, and you're working so hard and you have a great community. And you're in many ways, like you're all going to be like very, very good ambassadors for the game, even if you might not have won millions yourselves, kind of thing. So yeah, I think like championing communities like this who you can tell like care a lot about the players, like care a lot about the people, their community are very friendly and welcoming. That would be like a great way to go, I think.
Well, shucks. Jeez. GG. Thank you so much for the kind words. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. The people that love poker are the people that are going to grow the game. So it's just, but like you point out, like the people that are recognized are the ones that have had these high stakes success, and more power to them. But yeah, it's a tricky spot for the poker world. But I think, you know, people are trying to do the right thing in a lot of ways. And I really want to emphasize your point that being a good poker player doesn't necessarily make you a good role model. But that, you know, that's more of a human problem, I guess, than anything else out there. We're getting to the end of the formal interview portion of the podcast. In fact, we're already a few minutes over. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to start. Well, actually, here, hold on. We have a soundboard now. It's very professional.
Okay.
But we have to officially mark the end of this section of the interview. Hold on. There you go. So that's nice. So now, Chris Jones, our producing co-host, is going to be taking everyone shaking their head in the YouTube chat. I love it. We're dorks here, but we have a good time doing it. Chris, I think it's time for a steak study stack. What do you have for Georgina and James today?
All right, GJ, you may have played a childhood game called Kiss, Marry, Kill. Well, we play Steak Study Stack here at Rec Poker. Okay. And I've been asking the chat for some help here. And we like to make this a really hard job for you and maybe create a little bit of like some back and forth with some of the people that you have to engage with. So I have picked three Poker Stars ambassadors, and you have to pick one that you want to stake in a tournament or cash game, one that you want to learn from or study with, and then one that you just want to take all of their chips at the table. And your three names are Spraggy, Fenton, and Tonka P.
Okay, so stake, study, and stack. I think I would study with Fenton. I think he's out of those three, I think he would be the one that I would kind of vibe with most when it comes to learning. Stake, I would go with Tonka. And then I'm sorry, Spraggy, but like you chips just look too good on my side of the table. So we're gonna stack Spraggy at the table for sure.
That's awesome. I love that segment so much. full points to Eric Jin, who unfortunately lives on the West Coast and cannot join us for this the time of this podcast every week. But it was his idea to start doing Steak Study Stack, and it's been so much fun. Eric, thank you so much for that. And for all your contributions here on the Wrecking Crew. All right. So we're going to end our interview with the speed round. We call it closing the action. But first, I just want to tell our listeners, once the interview is over, we're going to do a drawing, a raffle to see who's going to win an amazing prize. You can win a prize of a free month of training at Learn Pro Poker, Solve for Why, The Poker Forge. Oh God, why do I do this live on the air? PokerCoaching.com, Jacket Coaching, Red Chip, and coming up in May, Run It Once. So those are some fantastic training sites that work with Rec Poker members as part of our Learning with Partners program. And they have all given me permission to give away a free month of membership to help support our food bank raffle. So once we're finished with the episode, all that we ask you to do for now, folks, anyway, is just type the words food bank into the YouTube chat. And we're just going to draw a number and give away a prize based on the order in which people type the words food bank into the YouTube chat. And the reason that we do this for food banks is because no matter who you vote for, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, no matter who you pray to, I think we all agree that hungry people should have food. And it's a fantastic way to make the world a better place, to do a little with what you have where you are, is to donate to a local food bank. So if you pull out your smartphone right now and just Google food banks near me, you'll find an organization that can benefit from a few dollars from your pocket, a few hours of time volunteering out of your week, or a few non-perishable food items from your pantry. And it's a fantastic way to help folks in your own community. And these days in particular, you might be surprised how many people need a little help putting food on the table or feeding a loved one or a child. And it might be someone that you might not expect. You never know who needs a little help right now. So I would encourage you all to support your local food bank. And if you want to win a prize tonight, just type the words food bank into the YouTube chat. And we'll make sure that someone gets a fantastic prize, compliments of Rec Poker and our amazing learning partners. All right. But first, it's time to close the action. The soundboard's back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. The pressure is high. This is it. Now, we're going to start. So you can say pass, but otherwise we just want quick, fast answers. We're going to start you off with an easy one here, Georgina.
Okay.
What is your favorite poker hand?
Aces.
Easy answer. Poker a gamble or a skill game?
Skill game.
What is your biggest poker pet peeve?
Rude to the dealer. No, no time for that.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No.
Is Ace King a drawing hand?
Yeah, sure.
Is a Pop-Tart a sandwich?
No.
what about a taco? Is a taco a sandwich?
No, I don't think so.
What about an open-faced sandwich? Is that a sandwich?
Yes. Okay. Sure.
And finally, a hot dog. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Yeah. So you didn't think you'd get a lot of sandwich questions on the Rec Poker Podcast, but we're not afraid to take the questions that other people won't ask. Is a royal flush a straight flush?
Yes.
Should vacations
be... This is a trick question.
No. People disagree. Should vacations be lazy or busy?
Half and half.
Who's one player you respect and why?
Tobias in chat, because he loves the game more than anyone.
Amazing. Yellow light coming up. Slow down or speed up?
Slow down.
Are you pro chop or no chop?
No chop.
Who is your poker nemesis?
Nemesis? I don't have one, hopefully.
All right, there you go. So that is the end of the speed round. You did very well. Let me just add up some points here.
Okay, points.
Here
we go.
Four. So I get 1,216 points. That's really good. That's an excellent showing.
Okay, thanks.
That's a fantastic showing.
I'll take
that. The 800 crowd is just crying in their soup right now. Very nicely done. Now, the last question I want to ask you is a question I ask all our guests. You've led a rich, fantastic life. You're doing this poker ambassador gig. I'm sure you're loving that. You've had all these things happen to you. Let's say someone comes with a loaded gun to your head and says, Georgina James, you have to go back. You have to go back and do one thing differently in your life. What's the one thing that you would choose to change and do differently to make your life better today?
Within poker, or just like as far back?
Anything, as far back as you want. What's one thing? It doesn't even have to be the thing that would be the most impactful, but one thing that you're like, yeah, if I could do it over, I'd do that one differently.
I think just keep better in touch with my friends from like a long time ago, sort of from childhood, because a lot of my circle now is like very much like the Pokemon poker community, and I love them for that. But a lot of the friends that I had when I was younger or in school, I wasn't necessarily the best communicator or proactive communicator. So I don't like keep in touch with all those people now, which is a little bit sad, but it's sort of kind of how life ended up going for me. So I think if I could do one thing over, it would be to just, be more proactive, keep communicating and like stay in touch with like some really old friends of mine.
That's a great answer. Georgina, thank you so much. I feel like we had a great time. We got some great answers out of you. If folks want to, so two things, if folks want to say thanks or do something nice to you, to say thanks for coming on the show, is there like a newsletter they can subscribe to, the Twitch stream, sub on there? What's the one thing that people can do to sort of tip their hat and say thanks?
I mean, definitely like check out the Twitch stream. That's kind of where my main focus is on social media. So that's GJ Reggie on Twitch. And then, yeah, you can come hang out with us in the Discord community as well. Those are the two places that I'm most active. But I'm GJ Reggie on all socials, so pretty easy to find. And that would be awesome to see you in the stream sometime.
And is that the best place for people to like reach out and say hello as well?
Of course, for
interaction, just go mm-hmm. find you on Twitch and or on the other socials. That's fantastic. All right. Well, thanks to everyone in the YouTube chat. Some new listeners here, I think. Stick around. We're going to do our raffle drawing in just a few minutes. But thank you so much to Georgina James for taking pity on a friendly little guy across the table in Ireland and coming on the Rec Poker Podcast. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you. I've had a lot of fun, too. So, yeah, appreciate you having me on. Take care.
All right. Hope we get to chat again sometime soon. All right, that is Georgina James, everyone. So we're going to continue. John Somsky, why don't you tell us a little bit about some recent home game results, and then we will announce our prize and close out today's show. John, take it away.
All right. Well, today we are going to hear a lot of repetition.
Oh,
so let's get prepared for that. First, we have the Gold for the Gold. So this is an annual game.
I'm getting something here that we're not supposed to disclose this information, I think.
Keeping this information?
This has been redacted. We're not actually supposed to talk about this information.
Well, So we'll leave that for post. So when the podcast gets edited, make sure that this portion of it goes out. So just for those here today, we'll say the Gold for the Gold tournament happened on April 17th, and none other than Gopher Boy TJM Taylor redacted. Got his first Go for the Gold win.
God.
Now, I do want to note that this is one of the few times that Gopher Boy TJM has not been the inaugural winner. He won our first home game. He won the first
Player of the Year.
Player of the Year. He won the first Heads Up Tournament and this, championship. Yeah.
And so this might be known as like old news, basically, kind of at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Why are we even still talking about it?
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's a has-been.
We should really be saying celebrating Daniel Kennedy and the hero that he is, really. And just
yes. Just they really they just broke the mold after Daniel Kennedy. I mean, but you know, I guess it's kind of impressive to win an annual tournament made up only. And so the Gold for the Gold tournament, just in case John didn't mention this, is made up of only people who have already won a silver pin. And the only way you can win a silver pin at Rec Poker is by winning a gold pin, a bronze pin, and then winning the next tournament of champions. So like, you have to beat a lot of killers to even just get invited to the Go for the Gold tournament. And unfortunately,
there is one other way to win a silver pin.
Oh, that's true.
And that is to win 50 home games and make it into the Lifetime Achievement Award silver pin.
Yes. Yeah. Very rare. However,
only one person has won a silver pin that way, and he also won one a different way, so that wasn't really his entry.
I think two, actually, John, because didn't Kim Kilroy recently join the...
This is true, but Kim won a silver pin long before that.
That's a good point.
So she was already invited.
But congratulations nonetheless. Yeah.
Next, we have A Big Deal 1992. Brian DeHaven got his first nightly victory for the year. Nice. A Really Mad Guy, got his third nightly victory for the year. Apple O' My Eye, Harold Berry, got his first
Harold.
Nightly victory for the year. And then Gopher Boy TJM, Taylor. Ugh. This was also on April 17th, the same night that Go for the Gold tournament was taking place. He won the Daily Mixed event. Good and that Lord. Was, you know, I was particularly affronted in that one. mainly because I was the one playing him heads up. I haven't been able to even play in one of the TOCs for the longest time. So here he is going for the gold, and he won't even let me win this crummy tournament to make it into the TOC next month. Okay, then we go on to international events. Oh, and Gopher Boy TJM won his first international victory on Sunday for the 8 a.m. event.
Oh, my God.
This is gross.
Yes, it is.
I'm just on behalf of everyone here at Rec Poker, to audience, I apologize. And to the rest of the Wrecking Crew, like, we're all going to have to work with this guy for the rest of the year. And if you thought he had a, you know, pretty full view of himself already, like, this is not going to contribute towards a positive working environment here at Rec Poker HQ.
I just heard through the grapevine and a fairly reliable source that all of his doorways now have been extended to be 6 foot
in order to
encompass his head through the
fit that head in there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be hard to do. Well, well earned, Taylor Moss. Congratulations.
KB.
We'll get to it later.
Then KB got his first international victory for the year for the real international tournament at 2 p.m.
It's the more established one.
Prestigious event.
Yeah,
Exactly. Ozzy 8 won the LPP event, so he can contact info at rec.poker for his free month at Learn Pro Poker. And thanks to all of the winners this week that were not Gopher Boy TJM.
Yeah, the few of you that remain that were not Gopher Boy TJM, congratulations to them. And congratulations to Taylor. Taylor is one of the OGs here at Rec Poker. He's very, very good at poker. We all know this. And I'll just take a minute to plug this here and say, if you're interested in getting coaching for your own recreational poker game, a lot of us on the Wrecking Crew do offer coaching, very affordable, one-on-one, video, database review, all that kind of stuff. If you go to rec.poker/coaching, you can find some great people to work with to take your game to the next level, including perennial killer Taylor Moss, who I believe you can contract for something like $50 or $60 an hour or something like that. And listen, we like slagging the guy because he's a jerk, but he's really good at poker. Yeah. And like he can help you get
and
almost.
I'll put a plug in for him because and I will deny I ever said any of this if this ever gets brought back. But I actually did that with him around mixed games because I just wanted to I've never played mixed games. I just wanted to understand, like, help me become even mildly competent at mixed games. And we had a great, like, he prepared this whole thing. I feel like I have a fundament. I'm not good at mixed games now, but at least I understand some basic baseline strategies for it. It was a great session. So I would highly recommend that if you're interested in sort of expanding your poker repertoire. He's got a really good way of just bringing you into that fold.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are recreational players and they feel like, well, you know, I'm not at the point in my game where it's worth getting coaching. And I would say you couldn't be more wrong. And, you know, if you were an amateur golfer and you were down at the driving range duffing it up, you know, you'd pay $50 for an assistant pro to come and give you some swing thoughts and work on your game. Not because you figured you'd make it back on the fairways the next day when you were out playing, just because it's an investment in a hobby that you love and you can get better just by getting some help along the way. So whether it's by joining a great group like us here at Rec Poker or all these other fantastic communities and training sites out there, listening to podcasts, watching videos, reading books, getting some one-on-one coaching is a really, really effective way to take your game to the next level. So I'd encourage folks to do that. And of course, I'd love it. And the rest of us would love it if you gave us a try over at rec.poker/coaching. Thank you, John, for that fantastic rundown of all the home games that we run in our free Play Money Home Game Club. The tournaments are free, but the prizes are real. Our Sunday winner, whose name I've already forgotten, please send that email to info@rec.poker. You've won a free month at Learn Pro Poker, one of the fantastic training sites that we like to work with here each week and month. So I think it's time to give a prize away, Chris. You have the DisoCam. If you're watching live, you can see it all set there. We got a ton of people firing their food bank chat guesses into here. Do you want to take it from the top? Are we gonna count Elizabeth Bennett Martin? She didn't technically enter the words food bank, but it's strongly implied. It's strongly implied.
It is implied. I will allow it. I think I'll.
She did. She did. She's number three on the list.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Oh, she did. Okay,
she followed up.
All right,
so then followed up. Okay,
she followed up with three. All right, excellent. Nice work. So I never should have doubted you, Elizabeth.
I see Terry first.
It's an excellent number.
Yes, Terry, the first name you see.
Yeah, I see Terry, Hino, Elizabeth, Joe, Stu, Gibber, Rafa. What else we got here? Those are the only ones I see, I think, unless there's other ones at the bottom.
Okay.
No, that's
so,
it.
So we'll do, I've got an 8-sider. If we roll an 8, we'll be, Rec Poker will be donating to the food bank, and otherwise we'll go 1 through 7. Right.
That's right. So 1 through 7, if you're in that order, if we roll a 1 through a 7, you'll win. If we roll an 8, Rec Poker will make a donation to a local food bank for $20 or $25 or something like that. So roll an 8, Chris. Let's put some food in people's bellies. Let's see who's the winner going to be.
It's a 1.
It's always a 1.
It's always a 1.
Wow. How does it always continue to be a 1? Terry. Lucky, you are the winner of a free month. Now, there's a few Terrys out there. I don't know which Terry this is. Terry, if you're already a Rec Poker Premium member, then congratulations. You can take your choice of all those other fantastic sites out there. If you're not, then you've just won. You've just now won a free month of premium membership here at Rec Poker. That would normally cost you $15 a month, but you're going to get it for free. So send an email to info@rec.poker and just mention that you won the food bank raffle on the podcast tonight, and we'll know who it was going to be. Terry. Okay, it is one of the Terrys that I was thinking of. Congratulations, Terry. You are already a premium member here at Rec Poker, so you've got an even more amazing prize waiting for you. That's why it pays to show up live in the YouTube chat here on Monday nights. Now, folks, is there anything else that we should be covering here? Does anybody have any fun events coming up? I know I'm going to be in Montreal with Ben Enslow, who goes by East Coast Bitter or BGMN 96 in a few weeks. If folks are in the Montreal area on the weekend of May 18th or 19th, let's get a pint or some poutine or something fun, because I'm heading down to Playground, one of my favorite poker rooms, to have some fun down there. I know Running Aces has some wonderful events going on all the time. They're still in the middle of their MSPT. By the time you hear this, that might be over. But it's not too early to start circling the August 2nd weekend, because on August 2nd and 3rd, we'll be doing Rec Poker Weekend at Running Aces, where a lot of your favorite goofs and wizards from the Wrecking Crew will be down there in person having a fantastic time playing in tournament series, giving away a bunch of prizes. We'll raise some money for some food banks in the area, and just generally have a fantastic time. So circle that one. And if you want to find out more about other events that are happening at Running Aces, you can go to runaces.com. All right. I think that's everything we were supposed to mention. Without further ado, then, I really want to thank Georgina James for being a fantastic guest. Kim Kilroy, Rob Washam, Joe Coolis, John Somsky, and Chris Jones in the chat. Our fantastic new YouTube members, thanks so much for showing up. And hopefully we'll see you next week, along with all the rest of our audience, here on another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. All right, have a good night, everybody.